Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. And Lord, thank you for the word of God that's been taught on these premises today. And we ask now at this time as we come again to open this precious book, the word of God. Holy Spirit, I pray that the time has been enough time with you in studying, in turn that you can use this frail body. And I pray the message not only come from this pulpit, but we recess in people's heart that we may learn some things about time. And know no matter what's happening in this world, God is still sitting on the throne. And God still sees the end from the beginning. And one of these days before long, he's going to close all of this out. But he's given man ample time to make his peace with God. And when they stand before him one day unsaved at the great white throne judgment, they won't be able to ask for excuse, because when they begin to try to ask or make excuse, the word of God, that is the law of God, will stop their mouths. And they'll be hushed before you, and you put them in their place. They realize for the first time they had the great opportunity in life, in time, to receive the Lord Jesus, their Savior, but failed to do so, whatever the reason was, and then it's too late. But now we pray you'd help us look at the horizon and see things of the future for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible and turn, if you will, to Judges chapter 21. Now, I started a series last week, about a three-part series, on this subject, what leads to spiritual apostasy. And we live in an age, if not in the beginning, certainly a fast rate, certainly at the beginning of spiritual apostasy in this world today. And God has left us some things about the end of time. Now, I said last week, just to bring you up to date, there's a lot of times we talk about Matthew 24, signs of time, rumors of wars, all kinds of wind currents and everything else that's happening. And that is true, because we know of that more today than ever before due to the technology. But by the way, we had those things happen even after Christ in the first century and then centuries after that. So one reason that we can understand today that these things we know these things more than any other time in man's history is because that we see, we hear it immediately when it happens, no matter where it happens on the face of the earth. But when you move on over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read last week, we'll read today, we see there's going to be what he said in verse 7, the mystery of iniquity. Word iniquity means lawlessness. That's when a society moves to a point a certain amount of time and they begin to go and abandon God and refuse the truth of God. Then they begin to do more of that which is lawlessness. To them it's okay, but for the child of God, they're going to realize there's a standard God has set and it's been broken. And when we rise up to say, God, let us help you, let us be the vessel for you to occupy in this hour, let people know there is a God in heaven, he has set a standard, then all of a sudden we become the target and they try to put down. And at the end of the age, you're going to see a lot more suffering of God's people. And then the tribulation period, of course, the first 3.5 years peace, the last 3.5 years, is going to be a terrible time for those who are alive at that time serving God and receiving the gospel of the kingdom. But the time now in the age of grace, thank God, we'll be out of here before that happens. But we're going to see on the horizon things that happen. And I believe, if you'll listen carefully, we're seeing today some things that's taking place. And God has given us some examples about that. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 7, he gave us some things about perilous times. He went into detail. But even that we look at and don't see on the horizon much. We see some things happening. When we read that, we won't go back. We read it last week, we won't go back today. But we're also going down to Judges, because we look in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6 and verse 11, God says that as he talked about Israel, the Old Testament, what happened back there and how God dealt with Israel is for our learning, for our admonition, for our understanding, that God sets a standard and he never changes. If man changes, they suffer the consequence. And so he tells us to go back, if we really want to understand God, instead of listening to people, they were so many religions talking about their God, go back and see how he dealt with Israel when they faced the same things that we face today. That is, they faced the gods of the world in their time, and we're today facing the gods of the world. Our gods today, as far as I say ours, the world's gods today, is somewhat different than theirs, but they're still false gods.
Amen.
And so what we're seeing and this is a time that I believe will open my eyes. Now, in chapter 21, verse 5, the scripture says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. No king means no authority. It's been said two or three times already in some verses. And he's talking about no king in Israel. That is, there's no authority in the land to set forth that is right or wrong. And so there's no authority to rule the people in a way that would be as God would have them to rule. So everybody does that which is in their own eyes. And many times it's so bad. And that's what we're going to see. Now, I have read many times Judges, and from chapter 21 to the end of the chapter, or chapter 17 to the end of the chapter, I've read many times. But I have never seen what I've seen the last few weeks in studying this about apostasy. It amazes me what God reveals. God reveals some terrible things that took place and what happened in Israel's life because they refused to follow him. He made a lot of promises to them. And under Joshua, after Moses' time, we know that they did pretty well. But after Joshua, when you look over it, go back with me if you will, we're going to be looking at chapter 2 just a few minutes. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to read a lot instead of paraphrasing, because this will tell the story, and then we'll come to the later in part 3 of exactly what we see today and compare it. But if you go down and as you turn to chapter 2, as we talk about this today, God knew, no doubt, that a nation like ours would be raised up. We're 240 years old. The book of Judges is about 305 years old. And we said even from during Joshua's time after Moses, we're talking about 360-something years old. And, of course, Joshua died he was about 26 years after Moses died. He lived and died. And then when he died, God didn't give another leader in the sense as like Joshua and Moses. He didn't give them kings. He raised up judges for Israel to judge them. There's 15 judges over a period of 305 years. Samuel's the last judge. And that's what we're fixing to see. God will let them go for a period of time. He gave them the commands, and we'll see that. And what I want you to notice, when you talk about apostasy is abandoned of what one has believed in his faith or the cause of their life and also his principles. In other words, it's people who profess to be what God says they ought to be, but they're not. They profess to be what they ought to be, and they reject revealed truth. A professor rather than a possessor will reject the truth of this book. That's the reason today you see so many people, what God calls abomination, is because they don't see it, because they say, I believe in Christ, and yet they live a lifestyle of abomination. They cannot see. They're professing something about Christianity, but rejecting revealed truth that God said is an abomination in his life. They are in a spirit of apostasy and can't even see it. And so what's happened, these verses are going to open up our eyes to see what God did in Israel. And let us know even now, we're talking about 30-something hundred years later, 3,000, probably 500 years later, we're seeing the things on the horizon is different because we're advanced more. We see more things in the world. But the gods that people worship today are the many gods of lands, especially when it comes to our country. Ladies and gentlemen, no matter what you think about America, she was founded on godly principles in the Bible. You see that in the forefathers. But now we're seeing today many things are changing. Why? Because so many people coming in with other gods. And they're having more authority than you and I have when it comes to Christianity. As a matter of fact, it seems like all of them can get along pretty good, but they're pushing us to a corner because the laws have been established that if we preach what God says preach, it's called hate crime. But I want you to notice as we go through this. Now, at the time of the judges, Israel was out of control and accountable to no one, they thought. And yet, God would raise up a judge to help deliver them when that judge would die. They'd go back following the gods again of the land, and they'd come to a miserable place, and God would raise up another judge. So in Israel, God is showing us that when we allow our culture to shape us, and it leaves out God, we're letting a cancer into our value system that's going to destroy us, and even if God comes along to set it straight, as far as a nation is concerned. And in the closing chapters of the Judges, we witness idolatry and theft and murder and sodom and rape and kidnapping and civil war. Kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? The only thing about it is it happens in places that we think that's just a place where it's at. But you're going to find that when God, today and next week, and I don't think there'll be another one after that, but there is, I'm going to take my time because I have put a lot of hours into this, and I believe what I'm telling you is absolute truth. You're going to find that God picks out two Levites in the book of Judges, two different Levites. And by the way, by him picking them out, it means the rest of the communities were just as bad. He's just showing us, picking out an example to show us what is happening and why he had to do what he had to do. And he tells us that we can learn from that in the age of grace. The church can learn from that in the age of grace, that we might not sin after those things or follow after those things or become involved with those things, because to do so, God will do the same thing in the age of grace as he did then. He doesn't get us by just because we're saved. In other words, a nation will fall with saved people in it. Thank God the saved people are saved. It's different. We have the Holy Spirit living in us now. We have the Word of God. We have relationship with God in a spiritual relationship. The church has a blessed place that's different than Israel, though Israel was a blessed place for the time, because that's the only way you can have a relationship with God in that time. And to have a relationship with God any time is a blessed time. But I'm so glad today that I'm part of the church, born into the family of God, and don't have to go back and go and be under such a system as Israel was under. Amen. Because we're free. I don't have to bring a lamb this morning. If I did, I wouldn't be preaching on Thessalonica, the church of Thessalonica and Timothy. We're coming now to the place to help us look at what's happened and go back. And as he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6 and 11, what you see back there is for our learning, for admonition, to understand that God has set standards and it didn't change us because we're 3,500 years later in an organization called the church. And so here in the closing chapter, it's amazing. Now, look with me in chapter 2 of the book of Judges. Notice, if you will, what happens with apostasy. It doesn't start with the nations of the world first. It starts in the home. Apostasy starts in the home of the so-called believers that profess to be something and in turn reject truth. It moves to the church, which professes into truth but rejects truth. And then once you get beyond the home into the church, when you move to the states, it automatically is not going to have a voice much, because they're trying to keep the peace from all people. And so apostasy starts in the home. Someone professes something but do not respond to revealed truth. This book, God, listen folks, this book is God's holy word revealing God's heart. It's revealing how God deals with those that he loved so much and made in his own image, in man. From Genesis to Revelation, we have a story, and everywhere through that story, he deals with different people at different times, for he had a plan from the beginning to the end, and he's making it better. And I'm going to tell you, whether you realize it or not, God loves all people. He loved the Old Testament as good as he loved the New Testament, but the church is much better than what the Old Testament system was. Now, I see, and he says this. Let's read. I'm going to read a lot, and I'll try to watch my watch so we don't go too far after, because this morning probably be more reading. I don't think I can do any better than what the Scriptures have to say. And so here, Judges 1, chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. Watch. This is Joshua now, and the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bozim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swear to your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Now what? God says to them, that I've told you I'd never break my covenant with you. But wait a minute. The covenant is two ways. God's covenant was he would do what he would do for them if they would do what they're supposed to do to him. They must believe him and obey him. God cannot say, hey, you do what I say do, and if you don't, then I'm going to just do it for you anyhow. He's laying out a principle. He said, I made a covenant with you, and you broke that covenant. Now watch. And ye shall make no league about the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice that you have done this. Now, why would God say, you go into this land with all these people in Canaan, all those Hivites people, you go in there, you destroy their altars because they're worshiping false God. But you didn't do that. You know what? If they destroyed, you say, but wait a minute, this is a God of barbarism. No, it is a God who is of righteousness. And he's raising people. He said, you go ahead and you destroy their altars, which are false gods. But they didn't do that. And so why would he say that? Because he knew that Israel, when they got in, if they didn't, those false gods would in turn take them away from him. Why? Because they could see a false god. They made it with their own hands. Why, they had power over it. Amen. The god that they made themselves, they had power over. But the God who made them, they could not control. They must obey him. And that's what he said. He said, whereas I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be thorned in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. Why is that? God has said, listen, if you do what I say, do go in there and do it. I'll fight for you. I'll help you have victory. But since you didn't do it, he said, I'm not driving them out for you. He said, I'm going to let them be a thorn in your side. And therefore, you realize that what I say is too late. And so what happened? Watch this as it developed. It came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. They first got their heart because they knew that history had showed that they'd been under bondage. And so what was happening now, they said, listen, all that he said we'll do. Now, Israel said that to Moses too, didn't he? You mean when he got the law? It's interesting that they, oh yeah, Lord, we'll do that. They said they'd do that. But watch, he said, and they call the name of that place Bosom, which means weepers. Now watch. They meant, did you think they meant it, Lord? Pastor, I think they really meant it. I really do. Don't take long if you will. If you don't have a genuine belief in the true and living God, to believe that he's there and will do what he said he'd do, it's easy for false gods to come into our ranks of life. And watch how it does. God has given us this nation of Israel to let us see how easy it is. We don't have to. By the way, I think we're going to be held responsible when they are, because God has given us his Holy Spirit, who say. God has given us a documentation that every one of us have a copy of his word in our home. But back in Genesis' day, they had to go through the temple and go somewhere and listen to the prophets. They had to have someone interpret, because everybody didn't have a copy of God's word in their home in the Old Testament. Watch what it says. And Joshua led the people, go, the children of Israel, every man, unto his inheritance to possess the land. Everything was going fine. But then watch. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Now, when I see that, it simply says that long as Joshua was alive now, as long as those were elders under Joshua who was in charge and seeing what God had did from Egypt there, they followed and served God. It's kind of like our nation started out, and for years, folks, we always had evil stuff in our nation. But I'll tell you this, God could bring a revival and the whole nation be shook up about it. Men like Moody, men like Billy Sunday, men who came through years ago, whereas if they something started in churches, went to a liberal way, he'd move down in the ranks of churches, and all of a sudden masses will move out and start churches again. That's how God has done it down through the years. But something has happened in our day. Just like this. Joshua, now watch, is dead in verse 8. 26 years after Moses had died, Joshua dies. And then he says, and they buried him in the borders of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, and the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill called Gash. And watch. Now, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. Now time has come that all of those that remember what God had done, only thing now they could hear is what those who would tell what God has done, and they wouldn't tell it because they were so involved with the false gods of the land. Watch what it says. And he said, there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for him. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam rather than God. Isn't it amazing? 26 years just passed. How fast something can happen when sin personifies itself. See, you take a few people doing evil things, lawlessness, things can handle it. You take multitudes of people doing it, it's harder to hold. And when you take a society that's more mystery of iniquity or lawlessness in the sense of the things of God, I'm not talking about what laws we make to govern ourselves in the sense of God, then we have a problem. And it said this, and they forsook the Lord of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed their God. Hey, folks, we're not talking about paganism here. We're talking about Jews who God had brought through the bowels of Abraham. God's apple of his eye. And he said this, and followed other gods, and the gods of the people that were around about them, and bowed themselves to them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they served Baal and Ashtaroth. Now look at Ashtaroth. Look at verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hands of those that spoiled them. Now, there'd be no leader, and suddenly the people would be involved with the gods around them. And you're going to see how this works. God's going to pick a few out and show us as we get to it what was happening, and then all of a sudden their attention went towards the gods around them. Why? Because they could see them. They didn't have no life except what they gave them. They gave a little god and put them on a totem pole, put them in the house somewhere or another, some idol or something, and they bow down to it. That couldn't do one thing for them, but they gave him power, which in turn most of the time was their own power, selfishness. Follow me now. And then he goes on and he says, and yet they would not hearken in verse 17, their judges, but they were whoring after other gods. Watch Israel now. God calls it a whoring after other gods, and bow themselves to them. They turn quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up, judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hands of the enemy all the days of the judgment. For it repenteth the Lord because of their groaning by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead, they were turned back, corrupt themselves more than ever before of fathers, following other gods to serve them and bow down before them. They ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. Isn't it amazing? I don't believe if you'd asked them to start with, would you ever do that? No, sir, we believe in the true God. No, sir, we know. Look at our father. When Joshua was there, when the elders were there, those who remember what God did. Yes, we believe in the true God, but our generation rose up and didn't know that true God. So what happened was that God would let them go for a period of time. They get worse and worse because they more adapt to the generation of the world in paganism rather than to be who they were to be as Israel, as a godly nation. And God would give them a judge. And when he'd give them a judge, they'd come back, kind of like a revival-like. But then that judge would die. And then they'd go back again. And the next time, they'd be worse than they were the last time. See, sin personifies it. It gets worse, wax worse, and then what Paul told Timothy? Wax worse and worse and worse and worse. The only thing can stop sin is righteousness. Amen. The only one even tries to establish righteousness is God's people, if they understand how God is righteous. And then we move on. As we go through this, it amazes me. I look down, and then I go in chapter 2, 1 through 9, we see Joshua. In chapter 2, 10 to 13, and 6 and 19, we see the judges now coming. Now look in chapter 3 real quickly. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says, and these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many as in Israel, and as it had not known the wars of Canaan. Now these nations here, he listed in verse 3, all those Canaanites and Sodomites and Hivites and, you know, those that dwell in Philistine, all those that dwell at that time, he said that he used them now to prove Israel. Now, how was that? That is, Israel over here said, oh, yes, in chapter 2, verse 4, they wept bitterly and said, we'll do what the Lord said do. But what was happening is this. They had to have a leader. When the leader was gone, it seemed like they just migrated back. Yeah, back. And that's simply this. And you've seen it, if you're in the age when you've seen it in your life, there was a few years ago where sin was really put down. In the 30s, 40s, and 50s, sin was really put down by those who loved God and preached it. But then all of a sudden, the 60s, something began to change. 70s, something began to change. And you see what happens. Every time sin gets away back, it personifies itself. It gets worse. And that's the reason God said it's going to be worse and worse and worse and worse until God takes us out of here. And then it's going to really get worse. People thinking 3 years, 3.5 years of peace is going to be a wonderful thing, tribulation period, until they find out the tribulation period, last 3.5 years, is going to be worse than anything man's ever seen in history. And here I see it goes on. Look, he goes down now and he says this. And they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the command of the Lord when he commanded their fathers to buy the land of Moses. Isn't it amazing? God said, I did this. Why? When they had the judge and he lived and suddenly he died, he didn't have a judge. God said, what I did is prove Israel by moving back, no leadership now, see what they would do themselves because each one is responsible. But instead of following forward, they began to turn back to the idols around them and settle down with that which the rest of the pagan world was doing and thinking God ought to be pleased with it. God's never pleased with us to practice paganism. You say, well, preacher, I'm not practicing. If you practice anything that has to do with living for anything other than God, it's paganism. Because God is telling us paganism will take over if we don't take some stand for his glory. And that's what we're seeing here. Now, watch. In verse 5, and saying, the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hivites, Amorites, Perizzites, and Hivites, all those sites and sites family. And here, what do they do? They dwell. You know what dwell means? They settle down in that mess. They begin to just practice that mess and feel. By the way, God has given us a picture of how the nation is, and then he's going to give us a couple in the nation to show what the individual family was doing. I'll tell you what, God doesn't mind showing us the evil in this world and what he has to do. And by the way, I want to say this on record. I don't care how smart we get. I don't care how much education we get. I don't care how much riches we get in this world. God says the heart is still evil, wicked, and needs to be saved. And if it's not, then that's who we're going to see get worse and worse. And God's people who are less and less. And eventually, those who take, that's the reason Christians have to go underground sometimes. It gets so evil that Christians are a little hated, like Jews are a little hated in this life, because they're the ones who really stand, if anyone does, for the true and living God. Amen. Now, you'll get a lot of debates about that, because that means they say, wait a minute, you're trying to say, my God, hey, I'm trying to tell you that there is only one God. There's only one Lord. And when we talk about it, we're talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who functions as one. Notice he said, and they took their daughters to be their wives. Man, did they dwell? Did they settle down? They told him not even getting married in that mess, because he knew what would happen. So well, God ought not be telling them that. Hey, God knows the future. Did you know if we do what God said do, we'd come out a lot better, though we'd be have problems? Because he will see to it that we have the victory. John tells us, 1 John, we have the victory. And then he goes on and watch. And he said, and they took daughters and so forth, wives, and gave their daughters to the sons and serve other gods, their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forget the Lord their God, and do it, and serve Balaam and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the king of Mesopotamia. That's a large name. You pronounce it, bless your heart. Amen. And said, the children of Israel served that king. I'm not rewriting the Bible. I'm just said some of these names. I could pronounce them, but when I got through, you wouldn't understand it. And then notice, we see the first judge come. Now, this is about 20 years after Joshua had died. We have the first 20 years they got settled in this land. And now, Joshua has died, and God raises the first judge up, ladies and gentlemen. And it is amazing when we see what is happening here. Now, the downfall of the people began with a religious apostasy. Religious, that is, like a professed Christian who would reject revealed truth. It starts with religious apostasy and then moves to a moral awfulness. Then it moves to a step worse, that which in turn is decayed fleshly appetites. You just won't, didn't matter. Everything's all right as long as my flesh can be satisfied in this life. And you get that attitude and it goes right on through everything that the world says is okay. You know, if the world says it's okay, it's okay. When the world says pornography is okay, it's okay. No, it's not. I don't care what the world says. It's not okay. Because it will lead a person worse than they really are. If you don't believe, you counsel people, and you find some people come and say, I wish I'd never done that. Tell me what, I wish I had never done that. If I had, I wouldn't be where I'm at now. Folks, I'm telling you, this world is evil. If it gets an inch, it'll take a mile. And then I go and I begin. Now turn with me, if you will, to chapter 17, and we'll pick up the good stuff. You're going to think you're looking at a soap opera just about. Because God doesn't change anything at all. Now we move down and look at a man called Michael of Mount Ephraim. How many read 17 through 21 this passage? Okay, good. If you read it this past week, since last week? Well, I'd say anything I want to then. Amen. You don't know. No, I won't. I got to report to God on this thing. But in Michael, here in Judges 17, watch this now. This Michael is not the prophet Michael, a minor prophets over in the minor prophets. This Michael is a man on Mount Ephraim about 380 years before the prophet Michael is in the Bible as far as writing prophecy. Watch what he said. And there was a man on Mount Ephraim whose name was Michael. Now he's going to pick out a man and then show some things about his life. And it's so interesting. It's sad, God, but it's interesting. Notice, he said unto his mother, and he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest. Now, she got missing some 1,100 shekels of silver, worth probably a little better than $700. And she cursed the one who would take it. And her son heard her. Well, he's the one who took it. She didn't know it. And he said, and spakest also in my ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And then his mother said, blessed be thou the Lord, my son. Now, look with me in James chapter 3, if you will, just to help us connect the two together. In James chapter 3, he talked about the tongue. She did exactly what James told his parishioner they should not do. Watch what he says in verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men which were made after the similitudes of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursing. Watch. My brethren, now the world may not understand this, but my brethren could include the nation of Israel and also include children of God. And I think it's New Testament. I think he's referring to that more than anything else, those who have been born again. My brethren, these things ought not be so, or so to be. In other words, he said, a child of God shall not curse one minute and bless the next. But this person said, well, this is a pagan. Well, it's still wrong for pagans to do it. Now watch what happens here. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord. I had given that to God. And notice this Lord, she's talking in tense of, these are capital letters. To some degree, she's talking about Lord, even though she's not talking about God, she's talking about a high-ranking person who she's believing. We don't know which one she's talking about because she's worshiping idols. He said, from my hand for my son to make a graven image, watch this, and molten image, now therefore I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver. A shekel was about 60 cents in those days. It'd been about $120 now. Gold was about $6 to $10 for gold, but shekel was a little bit cheaper. And gave them to the founder who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Michael. They were set up in the house. First of all, they shouldn't have been set up in there, but they were. Now watch. God can speak better than I can. And the man Michael had a house of gods, made an ephah and a teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. He said, now I've got a God that's made, and I've got to have a priest. And he said, son, I'm going to consecrate you to be my priest. Now, what is wrong with that? He couldn't be a priest. The Levites were priests. And at this time, if you look in 31, the house of God was at Shiloh. The priest had to work where the house of God was at, not somewhere else in the land. Sacrifices had to be given for the house of God. Every tribe had their priest. Now, what is he doing? Watch this. He's leaving the system for his own good. Spiritual apostasy. In the face of knowing God, rejecting God's truth, because God had already set up the Levitical system, ladies and gentlemen, starting with the tabernacle and then finally the temple. And watch, he goes on. And he says, in those days, what? When he said that, he became his priest. In verse 5, he said the same thing he says at the end of the book of Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They had no authority whatsoever. And then he said, there was a young man. Watch this now, folks. What's it? And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judea, the family of Judah, who was a Levite. And he sojourned there. Now, what is a Levite? He's part of the priesthood. His family was a priesthood to all the families of Israel, the 11 tribes, rest of the tribes. And so watch, he's a Levite. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem to sojourn where he could find a place and came to Mount Ephraim to the house of Michael, and he journeyed. What is he doing? He's looking a place to serve. He don't want to serve there. Maybe he didn't get enough. Maybe he wasn't recognized. Whatever it was, he left and began to look for a place to serve. It doesn't matter what God says, I'm going to do what I want to do. That's what I see here. Do you not see that? If it is, you don't know much Bible. If you understand what God said for the priesthood of Israel, you'll understand that this is something they could not do and be blessed. Now watch, if you will. He says this. He said to Michael, go said unto him, whence comest thou? He comes down to Michael and sojourned there in the house. And he said to him, I am in a Levite of Bethlehem, Judea, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. Then Michael said, dwell with me. Be unto me a father and a priest. And I'll give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and victuals, thy victuals. So the Levite went in. He said, I'll give you 10 shekels. How much is that? About $6 a year. But I'll give you a suit every year. I'll see you have plenty of food to eat. I'll take care of you. Just come in and be my priest, and I'll be a son to you. Sound like this, that, how can I say, tempting that Christ had but Satan over in Matthew 4, doesn't it? Do this and I'll give you this. Do this and I'll give you. You remember that? Go read it sometimes. When Jesus went into the wilderness, attempted by Satan. What? So the Levite went in. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And watch Michael now. Michael consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Michael. Watch this now. Then said Michael, watch him. Boy, he's bragging. Now know I that the Lord will be to me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. Boy, I've got them covered. I got my idols in here for the gods of the land, and now I've got a Levite. I know it's going to be the priest of God, and he's my personal Levite. He's my personal priest. Man, I've got it made with all the gods. Ladies and gentlemen, spiritual apostasy has set in. They don't know exactly who's right, but trying to get everybody just so they can claim maybe they're certainly. It's like Bob Hope said years ago to ask what he was. Who he believed, what religion he was. He said, I'm all of them. He said, I'm a mirror of all religions, so if I miss one, I'm bound to get to one of them that's right. I'll tell you what, that's the way you go to hell. There's only one. There's another name. God help me. There's no other name given unto men, no other heaven whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me. And God has given us an example here. As you look at this, and it is amazing as we look now in verse 13. Then I want you to look at chapter 18, because what Michael has done is fix an effect even higher up into the system, understanding what spiritual apostasy is. Look, in those days, there was no king in Israel. In those days, the tribe of Danites, which were the tribe of Dan, they sought them an inheritance. They hadn't dwelled completely, settled in. They sent some spies out in verse 2 to search this out. And when they were by the house of Michael, they knew the voice of the young man. They were in Michael's home, and they heard him talking. And they said, isn't this so-and-so? I'm just thinking in my mind, isn't that so-and-so? Yeah, that sounds like him. And watch, and when they were at the house of Michael, they knew the voice of the young man, and they turned thither and said to him, who brought thee here? And what makest thou in this place? And why are you here? Good old Johnson County language. What in the world are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. And then he said to them, ask. And then he said to them, thus and thus did Michael sit with me and had tired me, and I'm his priest. He went back and told what Michael, he said, hey, it sounded good to me. I just took it. I was looking already looking. I just took it. Now, by rights, they should have said, hey, wait a minute, you're wrong. But instead of that, once he gave an answer, they accepted. By the way, when it starts going, you don't want to disturb the what's going on in that particular place. So they just said, well, how about blessing us then? Isn't it amazing? We know this man's Levite. And then when he told him why he was there, he said, well, but watch, he said. And they said to him, verse 5, as counsel we pray thee of God that we may know whether our way which we go will be prosperous. And he said unto them, go in peace before the Lord is your way whereof ye go. He'd give a blessing to them. And then the five men departed, came to language, and saw the people there. And watch, the manner of Sidonians here, quiet and secure. But there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. In other words, here the judges came up and they stood for God. And suddenly when they began to give righteous judgment, it brought people to shame. And they began to see themselves and turn back to God. But now there's no shame in the land. I've been studying this and God got my mind. I don't know how long I'm going to live. If I don't want to ask the Lord, let me preach some of these in heaven. You won't need it then. But I'm telling you, the thought come to my mind, where's shame gone today? There's no shame, folks. There is no shame. I mean, today, it's amazing to me what's going on. I'm not talking about just behind closed doors. I'm talking about in open society. There's no shame now. And when I see this, now look with me if you quick at 30, and I'm going to quit right now. I'm going to pick up next week. Look, verse 30 and 31. And the children of Dan set up the graven image. Wait a minute. They are told not to do this. They are set up the graven image. And Jonathan, what's that word? The son of Gershon, the son of Manasseh. He and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. The ones who were priests to the tribe of Dan now is setting up idols in Michael's home. And they set them up, Michael's graven image, which he made all the time that the house of God was Shiloh. Now even Israel in parts began to worship these different places. Now, let me give you this, and then we'll close. You come to this chapter 18 and see verse 30 and 31. You read the rest, and you see what's happening in individuals. Now, we see a man gave an image, and Jonathan, the son of, you know, and the children of Dan set up the graven image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, and the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests. Now, these were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. And they set them up, Michael's graven image, which he made all the time that the house of God was at Shiloh. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. This is Jonathan. Who is he? The son of Gershon. Who is he? The grandson of Moses. Now, listen to me. They were priests to the tribe of Dan who set up Michael's graven images for worship of the time that the house of God was at Shiloh, according to verse 31. Now, let me ask you a question. Surely Jonathan knew what God had told Moses in Exodus 20. What did God tell Moses? What did God tell Israel? What did God tell his dead man? What was it he told him? The same thing God gave on Mount Sinai when you look in Exodus chapter 23 through 4. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness or anything that is heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. This is what God said. You won't do that. Here is Moses' grandson, a priest now, who is offering idols in a home knowing better. Why? He's got to think he's got to gain something. Do you think Moses, his granddad, would be pleased with that? I don't. Moses went through enough when he broke the first set of tables, didn't he, of the commandments. I'm telling you, folks, it shows you exactly what happens when sin begins to personify itself. And we make it something it's not. Give it different names. It don't have the shock, don't have the shame that they had before. I want you to know, here is a picture of real apostasy in the Old Testament as Israel is moving at this time. Glad God said she was apple of his eye. She watched him. One generation come along, he'd take a nation next here to prove them or to chastise them or to set them straight. They'd come in, defeat her, Israel, and then they'd go into bondage. And next thing, they'd be crying out again to the heart of God. And God would hear them as he raised up different people in their ranks of life. And he'd come back and deliver them again until a Babylonian came in and destroyed them. And then we see even down when Jesus came, what was happening there at that time. In other words, the process of apostasy is being seen. We see that Paul told the church at Thessalonica there's going to come a falling away. That is, they're going to back off from truth. They're going to confess everything else to Christian profession. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian too. Well, what's the difference? Well, you believe what you want to believe, I believe what I want to believe. No, we got to believe what God tells us to believe, folks. And here we are saying, there is something in the Scripture that bears witness to our heart. And they say, well, we use the same Bible. Yeah, but you don't believe the same Bible. If God calls something abomination, it's abomination. I don't care if a child of God does it or someone in the world does it. It's abomination. And I know this, a child of God does it. He's going to track certain of the heart because the Holy Spirit starts to convict them of shame. And in turn, will cause us to react and come back to him in a way that should be. And so this morning, I just stopped there and began next week with the third part. Because then you're going to look, not only you're going to see what's going to happen here, is at this time, you're seeing Israel leadership should be where the tabernacle's at. Melting, moving into the world, settling down religiously and adopting to keep friendship or to keep habit from happening with the world. They adopt their religious system in with theirs. And they all say, yeah, we believe this, but we agree. You believe like you want to. We believe like we want to. And we'll just go through life that way. Lord, I guess I'm going to. Sometimes I wonder. I know why God called me like he did years ago. Because you don't get that listening to people tell you what to preach. You get that with hours. Study this book. And God will just start you out, and you can't just stop. You just spit. In fact, you go to sleep sometimes just studying. And it tells me this as I look at it. Now, here's the thing. The process of apostasy we looked at today, and we see the Old Testament, and we see the New Testament 3,500 years later, and what Paul, if you think what Paul told church at Thessalonica, what Paul told Timothy, you'll find that the process is there, except it's different. We don't have gods. A lot of folks here don't have gods they bow down to. Some do, but a lot don't. But they have gods made in their mind other than the true God of this Bible. And see, why does a person make a god? Because the person makes a god can see that god. If I would take something to make a God, and I'll close with this thought. If I would take something to make a God, take this and mold it away and make a little God, I made something myself. Therefore, it has no power over me. Why? I have power over it. I made it. But it's my God. There's nothing that God's going to do for me. Because if I settle down into the world, I may have entirely different ideas about what I'm going to do. But if I settle down into the world that's already pagan and ungodly, then I'm going to adopt some things that world wants. And when I do, I say, well, I see, will my God accept that? Yeah, he will. I don't see nothing wrong with that. And because we don't see nothing wrong with it, we say our God adopts it. When we adopt it. But I'll tell you this, when God speaks, we say, what did you say about that, Lord? Let me see. And by the way, nowadays you can ask any question you want to and go to the computer and thank God you can find the scriptures. They won't give you the answer, but they'll give you the scriptures. You can find and go to the scriptures yourself and study if you want to do it fast enough. And understand that when God tells something, it is not something we make up our own, though they say we do. Oh, yeah, you just, God loves us so much, he's not going to have people upset in the cart like you fundamental Baptists do and so forth. No. You go to this book, and I guarantee you, everyone here who's done that knows there have been many a time you didn't know what to do, and you went to this book and prayerfully, not just a daily Bible reading, but prayerfully use this book to ask God to help you understand where you're at. And somehow or another, you heard something, read something, and God touched your heart. Touch your heart. If you don't believe it, I heard this morning. I won't tell that. There's something in my mind burned me so bad that I was praying about her this morning. And after I'd finished studying, and just all of a sudden, God gave me the peace. Just gave me the peace. Because the scriptures gave the answer. He honors his word, folks. Stand to your feet, please. We'll pick up third part next week. Father, Lord, I thought about doing this at night, but somehow or another, you want me to do it in the daytime, on Sunday morning. Lord, I believe with all my heart, anything I've ever studied and preached, and what little I understand is true. We live in a time today that is manifest for our time, in time. Even though we have different situations in life, function different than they did. We ride cars and airplanes. They rode camels and animals, walked. And yet, the spiritual side, God has showed us and documented his word. I bet you there's people who don't even like to read verses like this. You know, you didn't put that there. You didn't just put that there so you could show the evil that Israel did. You put it there for us to read to show that we ought to know better because of the grace of God, because of God's Spirit living in us, because of the printed Word of God that God inspired for us to read. And you put it there to help us. When we stand before someone sometimes that denies what we believe, Lord, help us see. If the Word of God teaches that, be sure we get it in context. And then say, Lord, please help me. Whatever it is, God's people are to be the witness. And God is witness through his people that in Christ, God is reconciling this world to himself. Paul told the church at Corinth that. And Lord, we need to understand some things that makes us see more than what we see on the surface. As we finish this, Father, we're going to see Israel getting worse. As a matter of fact, next Sunday, it's going to be worse than anything they've ever seen. It's so bad that Israel goes into a civil war and thousands of people are killed because of an event. Dear Father, could it be some things that America is going through now? It's because you're trying to talk from one angle and shake up from another angle. And we think we've arrived so much now we can handle everything because of the greatness of our country. It is great, Lord. But oh, how we need you. Please help us do whatever we can, which is very little in a political world like we have, but do whatever we can to stand the test that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray.